You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, how's it going, man? Oh, Casey's back. All right. Well, since Casey, you know, he's having a good time over there, I just want to go ahead and say this, Those Casual Reds, the best stateside Red show in the nation. We got our Reds, our panel here. But first, let's pay the bills first. We got Valorian and Manuki and LLP. If you want any kind of coverage, I mean personal injury, just don't kill, man.
Yes.
They'll cover you, right? Based in 4730 Woodman Avenue, Great Sherman Oaks, California, 91423. And there, you can reach them at 747-444-4444. All right, I'm going to pass it over to Case, a.k.a. Face, the biggest Red you've ever seen.
Man, that was good. Hey, you're a true professional, bro.
I pulled it up on Yelp real quick. They've been our sponsor for a year now. I might as well know the jingle.
Damn, we've been doing this for a year. It feels like 3 weeks. I'm just joking. How's everybody doing tonight? It's another one of those Casual Reds shows. Of course, with this best introduction I've ever had. Even since my college years, my man Mikey took it over. So let me just give an introduction to this fine panel. The man right here is my guy Sean, representing PA. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good.
The guy down here is Germ. What's going on, Germ? Sure.
That's all I got to say. 2-1. 2-1. 2-1. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get into that. My guy Ronaldo, how you doing, bro?
Maintaining, my guy.
And of course, the Don, our Don. Big Mikey, what's going on, brother?
What's up, man? Personal injury, law services, whatever you need. Valorian, Ike, Vahe, and the rest of them, man, there. Big up yourself.
Yeah. Valorian, Manuki, and Shakidian. Anyway. I wasn't able to see it at the pub, but I heard all I got was text, limbs. The most limbs we've seen at the pub in years. You missed it. You need to stay away. We win when you don't come to the pub. It was a bit of fun to see. It was 2-1. I don't know how that ranks as derbies I've seen, but I'm just going to say that Kid Ahmad, his moments, was just brilliant. And I'm just going to say my opinion. I'm going to go to everybody else, and we just talk about the positives from the match. When I saw that winning goal, the scream that came out of my body, it was not masculine in any way. I jumped up. And it was like I needed a moment of joy at that moment. And it came. And then, you know, I was around people who weren't footy people. And they were just like, you're back on those drugs, aren't you? But anyway, I'm going to get all your opinions. I've heard Mikey and I've heard Sean. Let me start with Germ. Germ, what do you think about the derby?
Oh, man, it was not the best match we have seen so far. I think you guys talked about it in yesterday's show. It was kind of like just like a gritty, just like the type of game that was like a mucked up type of game where it wasn't entertaining to the eyes. But what was good to see was United kind of dominate possession, kind of dominate the tempo of the game. And that's kind of crazy to say at the Etihad, you went and you dominated possession and also just kind of dominated tempo. And one thing I also took away is you just got to give Ugarte some time to adapt to the Premier League, and you see it now. He's out there in the midfield bossing around. Also, you see guys like De Ligt. You see how comfortable he is stepping into midfield to disrupt passes. So you're starting to see some of these players understand what Amorim wants from them and putting them in the correct positions for them to succeed. So, I mean, props to United for them going to the rivals, to the derby out there and just showing up, and especially to the supporters. What a beautiful sight to see. What I would pay to be there, to be one of those United fans, especially on opposition, on enemy territory.
Yeah, I got some pictures from some people who went down to the City Bar. I don't know why they were there anyway, but and they sent me a bunch of pictures of the City fans' reactions, and it was, you would thought someone got shot right in front of them. And so I enjoyed things like that. I enjoyed watching the match reaction of City fans. I took a lot of glee into it. I was very petty. It was like when, you know, back to the Liverpool one, but I was extremely petty and I enjoyed the misery because even though I'm not going to dampen the mood, I'm going to go back to you in a minute, Ronaldo. This wasn't the best City team we've played, but I acted like we just beat what they were, the four-time champions, and I posted a song, The Worst Champions I've Ever Seen. And so I really enjoyed it. Ronaldo, give me your opinions of the City match. And first of all, Jeremy, you didn't talk about Harry Maguire. You need to give Harry Maguire some props.
And you know what? You're right. I got to give him his props. Dude was out there bossing Haaland. You seen that? He was just bossing him, bullying him, just not making him feel comfortable. He was big-boying him the whole game. There was one instance where there was a pass thrown in from City to the box, and just Maguire just pushing him off, just throwing him out, making him feel uncomfortable like a rag doll. So you got to give props. Yeah, Harry Maguire, got to give him props.
All right, Ronaldo, give me your Derby Day reaction.
Right. Let's keep it going, Harry. Immense. Monster. Y'all remember Tamagotchis back in the day? Y'all remember Tamagotchis?
Yeah.
Erling Haaland's a Tamagotchi. Right in Harry Maguire's pocket. All day. It was brilliant. It was great to see. He almost knocked Kyle Walker out for that little BS he pulled on Rasmus Højlund. Oh, Erling Haaland might be a shit Rasmus Højlund, all you know. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
I digress. But it was a great, it was a good day, a fun day. I still rate that Liverpool win last season.
Yeah,
in the spring.
Yeah.
It was St. Patrick's Day. We were sauced up and the pub went crazy. There were a few of us there, and for those on Sunday, nice little crowd. So most of the regulars, and yeah, we tore it up. I ran around the pub. It was that fun, and like even though we considered that little BS goal in that choppy first half. I was just telling the guys, like, yo, we're still in this because of how we were dictating the tempo. We were holding the ball. Feel like we had the better chances. I mean, it was a scrappy game, but I felt like we were never out the game. Getting a little worried with the time passing. And yeah, it's a matter of time. Oh, Anthony. I feel like Anthony is the cheat code to release Ahmad. Because anytime he comes on, Ahmad frees up. And he goes up and he causes it. So said, so done. My man got that penalty. Oh, that guy Nunez, he wanted to disappear. Jesus. I felt bad for him, but I was laughing. And you know, Bruno put it away, and then Ahmad put them away. It was a good win. Great win. We gotta take these wins when they come. And quite frankly, I don't want to hear that this is a different City game. They're just missing Rodri and they're playing like shit. I mean, we played like shit how many times?
No excuses in front of you, right?
Exactly. I mean, even myself, I wasn't sure to pick my guys. I picked City to win 2-1. I was wrong. Gladly so. But yeah.
Make sure you mention that.
So Mikey, it's the same City, but we beat him.
Mikey, if you can you read the comments for me? Because I literally cannot see right now.
So we got...
It's all cheese, though.
Big up cheese. Cheese, we took the City. Stay your ass in Vegas. Ugarte's been in fantastic form. I don't know about fantastic, but he is growing into the shirt. Crying out of one eye at the pub. Lisa killer pass. We should say, hey, Paul Mullins and Ollie Palmer in January. Thank you, Ronaldo. Anthony is working the system. That's another reason for the victory. So sweet, we took advantage of a poor City team.
I think I saw Anthony has some crazy stat when he comes in and we're down. We end up winning.
We're not going to entertain that.
Anthony Superstar.
Let's not entertain that.
Don't entertain that. Sean, do you think it's weird that our coach seems to play Harry Maguire in the big matches so far and put him at that center back?
Not really. He's going to be a bench player, I think. As good as he was at the weekend, Lenny Euro is still going to start at some point. It'll still be Martinez, Lenny Euro, and Dalit. Especially with him looking like he's probably going to sign a 1-year contract extension. But you know, if you want to build a team for the future, you can't put somebody in there now that's going to not be there at the end of next season. You know what I mean? He's going to have to work that back three as his favored back three. But again, I'm going to give him props because that guy was tore up in England and he's came back and he's put in good performance. Yeah. Worldwide. And he's come back in and put good performance after good performance. But to answer your question, I think he's going to be put in there for certain games like he was at the weekend, but he won't be a regular starter at Man United.
No, but he's a solid bench player, and I know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm actually joking when I brought that up. I was trying to poke the bear a little bit, but you know, he's actually. I'm just gonna let y'all know. I used to be the one, like the joke in the LA pub is when Harry Maguire comes in, everybody's like, Casey, your boy's in, because I used to be like, it got to a point a few years ago, I used to be the one saying he should never play in a Manchester United kit ever again.
Yeah.
And we had a guy who used to scream at the pub, if Harry Maguire scores a goal, I'll buy anybody in here a house. So now that guy don't show up to the pub no more, which is so funny. But anyway, but you know, the early parts of the game was kind of dead though, Mikey. And I know you said you dozed off and fell asleep or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't see the game when it was on live. I watched it afterwards, which is all right with me because I have a 2-month-old son.
Yeah, you're forgiven, bro.
So, you know, I watched it after and granted, I wasn't at the pub. You know, everybody want to show up to the pub for the big games, but you know.
Yeah, right.
They're not there when it's against Wolves or, you know.
Glory Hunters.
But I ain't going to say nothing, you know. But, yeah, I wasn't there, and it wasn't the same. But, you know, to see that first half was, ugh. But it did look like we were the more dangerous team still. I think Foden had a half chance, and there was a couple, it fell to Haaland once, but it wasn't anything comprehensive that I felt like we were in danger of or whatever. I mean, literally, Onana could have sipped tea and ate crumpets back there and it'd been fine. That second half, though, we picked up the pace. We had all the attacking grit. We had all the engine. It was us in the engine room putting away the coal. And even when we went down, I was like, I can see how everybody was a little bit, because I have the privilege of retrospect now. So I'm like, I can see why everybody was a little bit on edge. But like at the same time, I'm like, we running this game. If we don't get something out this game, you know, we'd be hard done that we didn't get something out the game with how well we did in the second half. So we did. And that Martinez pass, like I said, I don't think he's getting the love that he should be getting. Cause that me, I'm an assist guy. I'm an assist guy when I play basketball. I love an assist. An assist makes two people happy, okay? Instead of a bucket. So you know, I like a good pass. I like a good when somebody gets in the open and to drop that ball. And then there's a video of when Amorim saying like Ahmed.
Yeah, he's Ahmed. Yeah, he's telling him to pass the ball.
and he drops the ball in, boop, right between the keeper, right. And I think, you know, 100% Rashford or Garnacho overruns that pass or bobbles that or whatever the case may be. You know, 100% of the time, it's just Ahmad with his skill, his grit, and he doesn't give up on loose chances. He's going to run after it, and he's creative enough to pat it one, hit it one time over the keeper. I don't know what Ederson's doing right there. And
Ederson, for the penalty, he came out.
Ederson's a bit of a fool, and go like people make fun of Onana. Ederson is kind of he's a risk back there a lot of the time, but he's a way really good passer, so they give him that, and he could stop the ball a lot better than Onana. But he really screwed it up that game to be out that wide, and yeah, great goal. Guy gets the fame that he deserves, and we move.
Sean, I thought a key point in the game was, not to be saying that was a good point, but when Mount went out and we brought Kobe in.
Yeah, Kobe played fantastic.
I felt like we can see where this Kobe and Ugarte thing is going to go. You know what I'm saying? And then Bruno had to be a little bit more advanced. I love Bruno, but him and Ahmad at 10s works for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was good to see that the Ugarte, Mano, Bruno, Ahmad thing settled us down. We were better with the ball, and we came back and won.
Hold on real quick. Our bartender, Reese, says, Trashford will run down that team. No team will pay that $350K. He's a clown.
Wow.
There's one. We're going
to
get you.
He's not a United fan. He's a Chelsea fan. Yeah.
Oh, Chelsea fans right now.
I hope he goes to Chelsea now.
Yeah,
him and Sancho link up, baby.
Yeah, wouldn't that be sweet? Like their scraps too.
Yeah, we do. We I don't want to talk bad. You know, this is the first time I felt bad for Mount, just from how the players reacted to his injury. And I know, but it's a done thing, Jeremy. What do you guys think? Mount's done, right?
No, he's not.
He's not. They said it's not that serious, but I really felt bad, and I felt worse because, you know, we finally had a coach that stood up for the bullshit and bench guys that we needed, and yeah. Mount went down in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. But they always say it's not that bad, and then he doesn't play for 3 weeks.
Exactly. I think it's a 3-week injury, honestly.
They always say, hey, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. He's all right. And then how many games has he played?
I'll take 3 weeks.
We've been missing for 3 months. How many games has he played?
Shoot.
Mikey, you're in my
10 games.
How long are we going to put up with this, though? Damn, because we did it with Martial. We're doing it with Luke Shaw now. And we did it with Malacia for 2 years now. Like, these guys just have to go if they can't play. It's nothing against them. They just can't play.
I've heard Mount's people say, we pulled him out just for precautionary reasons.
Wow.
And he out for 3 to 4 weeks.
I don't know. It's kind of crazy because how do you put him out for precautionary reasons on a derby? It's like a huge game.
Well, that wasn't it. He said that he felt a little twinge.
Yeah, you stepped off.
So we pulled him out.
Yeah.
And I'm not dissing Mount.
I'm not. I just feel bad for him.
Mount is Amrim's golden child, by the way. I don't know if you've seen the interview that he did and where he talked about Mount. He's the golden child.
Poetically,
I don't see why. I don't see how.
In training,
the reason why is when he does play,
press.
Mount, yeah, it's not just the press with Mount. Mount is one of those players that will sit there and go, tell me what you need to do. Tell me what I need to learn. And he goes and does it. He sucks in knowledge.
For 10 minutes.
No, yeah, okay. He's injured for 10 minutes. But it's not his fault, is it? It's not his fault that he's getting injured.
No, it's not his fault to get injuries, but
Casey, I don't want to hear that from you because when we first started this show, you were blaming people for not being ready enough in like, you're not training enough, you're not taking care of your body enough, that's why you're getting injured.
No. My thing
that's what happened with Mount. It's
no, it was not. I said my thing was that something's wrong with our training department. No, something's not right.
You said that too. You were like, hey, people, they need to build themselves up. I'm not saying nothing bad about
that. I said that about Zersky.
I don't know how you're a golden child when you've missed 75% of the games that you played since you've been signed to this. You haven't played. So now we're living off past laurels to say, yeah, he does what he'll do it for one game and be gone for five.
It's just what I've heard. Yeah, it's just from the interviews I listened to with him talking. He's the guy that he really really wants in that team. Yeah. If Mount can stay fit, he will be in that team.
That's a big if because he can want it, but his body can't physically just not be fit enough and take that pounding on Premier League. So just
I think Chelsea. Hey, Chelsea's knew something and said, "Oh, y'all want this? You want to pay us this for that? You can have him." And I'm not saying it was that cold and corrupt, but
Chelsea knew
he had an injury problem. They were glad to take
Chelsea sold Mount because they didn't want to lose him for free. They offered him a new contract. He wanted to leave.
They offered him a new contract.
Cheese is saying that Mount is on that Luke Shaw program.
That's so harsh.
You said Luke Shaw though, like that.
He's a fitter Luke Shaw though. He ain't eating the pies like Luke.
Yeah.
Well, if Mount is the golden child, Amad Diallo is the prize possession. The future, the I don't know.
Can I say something real quick? Let's not get too ahead of ourselves with Ahmed. Because we saw this with Rashford when he first started. Yes, we did. He is an incredible player. He's doing well, but I don't want to put too much pressure on him. Rashford was the golden child, remember? When Rashford first came in and scored two against Arsenal, oh my God, he was the golden child.
We had a lot of golden children at Man United. Remember Adnan Januzaj?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you play well, people give you praise and then they build you up. You know what I'm saying? It's just inevitable that's going to happen. Yeah. He's earning it. You know, he's earning it. He's had an assist in every game for the last, seven games. Like,
one thing I like, you're right, Mikey. He is earning it because one thing I like about Ahmad's game is that he doesn't get his head away from the game. Like if things are not going right, he fights through that adversity throughout the game. If you notice it, most of the games where he's having positive impact, it's on him getting on defense and deflecting the ball. You saw that again in the Everton game. You see it on this game here how he just was going. He kept on going on defense. He didn't give up on the play, and that's how he was able to get the penalties. And especially on that second goal, that run, it was just beautiful to see that skill set that he had to be able to just let the ball bounce, get it out of Ederson, and just be able to put it where nobody can get it.
Do you see when he touched that ball, he was in midair?
Exactly.
He wasn't touching the ball.
Yes, there was a breakdown that Terry Henry talked about, how he didn't have his eye on the ball. You saw that, right? Just perfect timing on that. So it's just big ups on him, his mental fortitude to stay within the game and not just give up and not be on minute 80 and just coasting by. He just gives it his all. He has a high motor. That's what he has.
I looked up some tweets I said and some things I said back in the past.
Uh-huh.
We signed him from Atalanta for that 30 million. And I was just like, I'm ready to see this guy play. When are we getting him back from Sunderland? When are we getting? And now I've been vindicated. Here we are. I mean, bro, it's just sad that I'm saying all of this to say it's sad that ETH was not playing him. We weren't getting to see more of him for whatever reason. He just felt like Ahmad couldn't make it in the team or didn't deserve the minutes, and it just didn't make sense.
It was weird though how ETH did him though, Mikey, because he was player of the month, and then we played, I forgot, some Europa team, and he started Mazzarri at the 10, brought Antony in before he brought in Ahmad, and we were all like, what?
That's when as a fan base, I think people are ready to roast. Yeah. Like, really, he was gone, but like we were putting the apple in his mouth and putting a skewer through him at that point.
we were. I remember that game. I remember. People were like, "Why is Anthony coming on, not Ahmad? What's going on?"
And then I think Ahmad, the next time he came in, he was just the saltiest look. And we all was like, the first thing everybody said, he's breaking that kid right there. That kid don't want to be in Manchester United. And the contract was on the table. He didn't sign it. Something like that.
Dan Taylor says, how do we assess Amarin's job so far? Big decision been made already. I'm a fan.
Okay, well, let's segue way into that. We just gave him, I think the penalty that Ahmad got, gentlemen, is the savvy that I want Garnacho to get. He seen the guy coming. He just put his foot on the ball. Was like, I'm in the box. He stepped in the box and waited for him to hit him. And Garnacho created a shot. Yeah, Garnacho would have shot.
He would have done.
And
no question in my mind, he would have done that first shot.
I think him winning this award recently is not a good thing for his head.
For who?
Garnacho. You know, Garnacho's an ego player. He's an ego guy.
Our new coach is an ego killer.
Like, I remember when he scored and he asked Ronaldo if he could do his celebration. He was like, can I do it? And I'm like, he's into that. He's into all of that stuff. I hope that it has a positive effect on him. That's what I hope. My hope is, but like, I don't know, man. That guy's a real big ego guy.
I mean, that's his idol, isn't it? Ronaldo?
I want you to strive to be one of the, I want that to be your, you know, but I also want you to know what it takes to get to that point too.
Exactly.
Ronaldo's a smart player.
Christie was in the gym. Christie was in the gym.
Yeah. He practiced and he hard. Knew to pass the ball when he needed to. Yeah, he could be selfless too.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Ronaldo, when you saw the lineup and you saw two names not even on the bench, were you shocked? Were you disappointed? Were you like, what's he doing?
I was shocked, but I think we need it. I mean, short term, based on what happened on Thursday at in Czech Republic. Yeah, stay home and think about what you did, because that was absolute bobbins from Rashford. And, you know, Garnacho was neither here nor there. And Garnacho has, I think since September, I guess, he kind of fell. He started the season well, and then he fell off, you know, falling into habits, not passing, and, you know, making a lot of poor decisions. I mean, a lot of our team do that, but he was like the ringleader in that regard. So yeah, well, I didn't know what's going on, you know, in training with him and his attitude and his application. Well, we all knew. We all heard about the whole leaks thing and him.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation.
One of the main suspects, you know, with his brother and everything. So when I saw it, I was like, great, let him take a break. And I didn't think too much about Garnacho being transfer listed. I mean, they're saying Atletico Madrid is hard for him right now. Pause. But Rashford. I mean, Rashford.
The whole team's hard for him?
Atletico Madrid.
Where he came from.
That's like number one priority in January, by the way. But yeah, I had a feeling that it would be worse off for Rashford. You know, the money, the age.
Do you know what? I'm going to say I'm extremely like
manager. Is this happening too?
Say it again, Sean.
I'm extremely disappointed in that and what Rashford released today. You know, you look back at Harry Maguire, you look back at even Anthony, who have come under a lot of criticism, who have been dropped from the team. Like Anthony 2 weeks ago wasn't even on the bench. Harry Maguire's not even been on the bench, and they come out and they're like, they continue to fight. And for you to come out after you were dropped and say, hey, I think it's time for me to leave, it just shows what weak-minded that he is right now.
And I think in the pre-show, I was talking about the timing of it.
Yeah, it's weak. It's very weak-minded. Like, oh, you don't want to. You're talking about how you love Man United, you love Manchester. You know, you want to do this. It's your club forever, but you don't want to fight to stay. That's what it comes across as. I don't want to fight to stay.
Oh, this is gonna be a good topic right here. I already know how this is gonna go. Jeremy. Well, so you felt when you read that, you looked at it as him being weak-minded, and
yeah, I was like. Yeah, absolutely. I think it was weak-minded. I think he's, which goes to show his play, because it kind of says I've been done at Man United for a little while. Like, hey, when I leave the club, like, you haven't been playing well. Now you're releasing a statement saying, you know, I want to try somewhere else. Okay, if you love the club so much, why weren't you trying?
Yeah, but couldn't you see that in his play last year?
Getting yacked off at a halftime in midweek? Yeah, I could really see the play in his play.
It just seems like he didn't want to be there. I think this is more like a divorce. It's just the way it is. It just
then why sign a new $350,000 a week contract? If you don't want to be there, why sign it? Why don't you go to the brass and say, "Hey, I think it's time for me to leave."
Well, come on now, keep it a full buck, Sean. Someone throw you all that cheese right there. You ain't gonna be walking away like, you know what?
No, but what I'm saying, obviously, like he could have tried to go somewhere else. And if, like, Rooney wanted to leave at one point. But the thing is, he
came off a 30-goal season with all the assists. I don't think it was part of the plan for this drop-off. And I can't explain the drop-off. I'm not defending the drop-off. But when you're coming off that season, you're not expecting that.
Yeah, but that's my point is, you're coming off that season. You're going to get a big contract anyway. PSG would have paid out of the ass for him at that point.
Yeah, but he's now a manny boy.
Now you want to leave, and PSG are not even going to give you 150 grand a week. You could, like, why didn't you say you wanted to leave a year ago? I think he's weak-minded. Like, you could have stayed and had the same fight that Anthony and Big H have had.
First of all,
I'm sorry, I'm going to excuse you. You might get in and cut you off. Please don't put Anthony in this discussion yet.
Oh, no.
He's had two good games. I'm going to give him credit.
Two good games.
So two good games.
You were doing
you
good with Harry.
Sean,
I love you. You were doing good with Harry. Please don't put Anthony in that.
Two good games gives him the confidence to play better in the next one. If we don't see it for the rest of the season, I'm more than willing to say, hey, you're gone. But I'm also a Man United fan, and I'm glad to see him playing better. Isn't that what we want? He's still a player.
Yeah, we do. But I want him to play better so we can sell him for good money.
Yeah, but we need fighters. We don't need prima donnas, and that's what Amorim wants, and that's why he's going to go.
Go ahead, Mikey. Sorry, my brother.
So, yeah, listen, I love Marcus Rashford, so I'm very biased here. Positive young man doing stuff for his community. Mank through and through, 20 years at the club, right? But 6 or 17. What did he sign? When he was like 6 or 8. But anyway, he gets a third. We have we have retrospect on our side right now. So saying, hey, why did he sign this contract when he did well? Because that's what you do when you do well. You sign another contract. I understand that he wants to leave, and we've been waiting and trying to get, first off, you're transfer listed. So why not quash the rumors and say, you know what? I am looking to leave. I didn't say nothing bad in it because we're going to make up these things anyway. We're going to make up us as media, or, you know, we're the new media, and then the media in general, we're going to make up this stuff anyway. He was transfer listed, so why not just give everybody what they want? But people been asking for years for me to leave, and say that they're saying I'm unhappy. I don't want to be there. I'm a prima donna. I'm all this other stuff. Okay, well, listen, I do want to leave. I am up to leave, and I'm okay with going. I do love this club, but it's not for me no more. I can't play. Maybe I can't play in this league no more. Only he knows why he's doing it. Okay, I have no problem with somebody saying, "Hey, I'm okay to go, bro. I'm all right. I'm one of those people that's like, hey, sometimes you can't do it." And that is, it doesn't tell me anything, but hey, it takes a big man to admit when he can't go anymore. So now we're telling people, don't express yourself. We're just going to make up the scenarios and the narratives for you. We're going to make those narratives up anyway. Oh, he quit. He's this, he's that. They're like, listen, I'm going to just say, for respect, because everybody else gets respect when they leave. People are crying tears when Scotty left. We're crying effing tears when he left, but he was a flipping bum. Okay, didn't score half as many goals as Rashford did, in important situations either. But people are crying tears. So now it's like, I'm not gonna say those things. Shout out to Marcus Rashford. Thank you for your service to the club. I hope you go someplace else and have a good time there.
That's Jerm, jump in there. Jerm, jump in there. Your initial thoughts.
So my initial thoughts first were, why is this coming out at this moment? and the timing of it right after he was basically just shunned off and told him to go, not even on the bench. So to me, that tells me him being this young guy, knowing social media and knowing how fast news travels, he wanted to get ahead of it and just let everyone know, you know what? It's time for a new challenge. It's time for me to leave Manchester United, not in a negative way, not in like a bad divorce, but just it's just time now for us to part ways. And to me, it tells me, okay, he's mentally maybe checked out and said, you know what? I want something new, something fresh. He's probably tired of all the toxicity with the fan base. We all here agree this fan base can be toxic, right? So it's just a huge fan base. Even on this topic right here, I mean, we're pretty civil about it, but you see some of these forums out here that are just horrible. So at this point, I agree with him being sold off because it's going to be better for him to go out to a different team and for us as well to be able to offload that contract, get some younger players or get someone that fits Amorim's system. At this point, he cannot cut it for this team. He cannot week in and week out be a consistent player that's going to be able to get you 15, 20 plus goals, give a positive impact on the team. I mean, it's just time. I think this is a year too late, but it's time for him to leave.
Ronaldo, good point. Everybody, great points, by the way.
Well, I said it in a chat earlier. It's pretty sad because, you know, he's the academy guy. He's been here, you know, since he could basically walk or run. And, you know, it took a while for him to really get going. And then he had that great season. And then he got his money and it just fell apart again. And I agree with everyone's points here. Sean, I agree. I think he should have stayed. He should stay and fight. If this, this is your club, dog, stay and fight. I honestly, a lot of people say, you know, he can't fit in Amorim's side. I think he's perfect for that left 10. I mean, have to work on his passing. You know, he has to change his mentality and work on his game to pass a little more. But getting that ball from the left wing back and you're right there on the top of the box to have that right footed shot, either side of the goal, I think it could have worked then. I think he quit too soon. I'm not happy about it. But, you know, maybe he's just, you know, not everybody's the same. Don't want to compare him to Harry or anybody else. Maybe he just feels like he can't do it. Maybe he feels like he just needs to leave home. You know?
Every week we get on this show and ask ourselves about Rashford. What's Rashford's future? What's going on with Rashford? Every week. He told us that what's going on with him. Thank you for telling us, and we'll move on. Now we don't have to ask any questions. We know you don't want
now,
to be here.
Now we know. Yep.
Ben,
I think he's being forced.
Sean, let me ask you guys this.
You think he's being forced? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think Amorim wants him in the team. I think it's a forced.
I definitely don't think
he's in a better reason to leave. I'm leaving, y'all. I'm not good enough for this team anymore. All right, bet.
I feel like
these narratives every time.
Both can be true, though.
When a player finally says, "Hey, I'm leaving," now we're like, he quit.
But that's like me telling my boss I'm quitting after he already told me I was fired. I quit. No, you were already fired 10 minutes ago, bud.
I feel like this was a test by Amorim to see his character and how much the player today wants it. And Amorim got the answer he wanted it.
Yeah.
I mean, Casey, he's 27 years old. It's not like a 20, 22 year old where it has that upside where he can fight his way to the club and stay here for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, but
he kind of sees the writing on the wall. He's at this peak of his powers athletically where he knows that I only have like maybe 3 years of peak athleticism at that. I got to go somewhere where they want me and I can fit in a system and score goals.
Well, is he going to go anywhere and be more wanted than he was here? Because say if he goes to a, I've heard Bayern Munich, Chelsea's all this. He's going to have to compete in a foreign area, and he's going to have to rely on his own heart to get to win over a different coach, a different town, a different city.
It ain't our problem now.
Yeah, right. True.
It ain't our problem. Don't care. I don't care because we have this thing now that we're following other players and watching them now.
I don't do that.
Good. Enjoy yourself there. You said you were leaving. You're leaving. No more news about you. We're not bringing up because that shit is annoying now, too. It's like, don't care.
I got to talk to the sponsors. We got to do another hour. This is crazy.
We could just do
This is my last question. I want to ask you guys. Does the club have any responsibility for Marcus Rashford's career not being guided, not being... Because think about it. Since Fergie left, how many good players has this club produced?
Rashford's one.
Some people say Rashford ain't one.
Rashford's
when you say good player, stop. Good is low. Do you mean great player?
Okay, well,
hey, yeah, Casey, what's the standard for good?
Okay, well, think about guys before Rashford.
De Gea is great.
You want about who we brought through the rankings or who we bought?
How many good players have they developed?
Yeah, how many players have been developed? Who's been successful at Manchester United? Because Fergie, we had Class 92, we had all the guys, the Rooneys, we had great names. Since Fergie's left, we've had a carousel of coaches, players have not developed. Our academy's failing. We've had names like Lingard. I know it's going to piss off Mikey when I say this. Pogba. You can say Scotty.
Didn't do well.
Guys did not do well under our structure. Nope. And Marcus Rashford, in his years when he needed guidance, he needed to be taught good principles, there was nobody there.
There's no great players at United right now.
Exactly. Well, let's
none
say
of them are
good.
Great.
None
you
of them are
great.
Got a
lot of decent guys here, but none of them are great. Rashford didn't. Rashford suffered from the coaching carousel as much as anybody else did.
And the bad structure.
Yeah, he suffered from that. He walked into that. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not going to say that's 100%. You know, you still got to raise your level. You still got to run back.
Yeah, you do got to run back.
You still have to show fight. But, like, he suffered from that. He suffered from having 5-6 different managers and 2 caretaker managers. He suffered from that. You know, McTominay suffered from that. All the guys that was here in the academy, they suffered from that lack of it. So, you know, whatever. Oh, let me read a few. Fergie bought DDG. That's true. Sanjeev, Mikey follows Lingard and Korea. That for sure.
Oh my God, that's another one, Lingard. Yeah.
This guy Sanjeev is a Anthony fanboy. So just
is he really?
Yes, ignore what he says. No players bigger than the club. Same one for Best, McGrath, Sharp, Ince, Beckham, and Keane. That's fine. Beckham got slapped upside his head with a boot. Beto, they've developed chances at other clubs, but they didn't get the same chances Rashford got. And you can't say Ronaldo was there. Cavani slapped on the list. Bro, these players were already good. Cavani was a buy. We bought Cavani. We bought them all these players. That's not the question. The question is, how many great players has Man United developed?
No.
Got them young and primed them up to be one of the best players. There's hardly any real world-class players anymore in this game. How many do we have?
That's a different subject for another show, but I'm feeling you on that.
I was listening to, I think it was Robbie Keane and I forget who else. I think it was Wrighty and a few other guys talking.
Ever said it.
And they were just like,
we're coaching the specialists of the game. Yeah.
It was Rio. Rio was like, yo, when I went outside and I had to play against Inter, I was playing against.
Yeah, I saw that.
When I was, you know, we don't have that anymore. What we have now is the Viking meat shield in Holland scoring, you know, and Salah.
Like, there were strikers everywhere.
You know, it's like, we don't have that anymore. So it's like, the way the game's played is not made for flair and for individuality anymore.
It's still a piss spread, but it's, you know, it's systematic. It's
a lot of hype today. It's a lot of hype.
It's all system football. Everybody wants to play like Pep.
Mm-mm.
Nobody talks poor about Pep. That. U18 is going to be filled with world class, brother. You can't say that. They are playing in the youth team. You don't know that. How many youth players? Remember Revel Morrison?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Well, see,
we also had an attitude problem.
He was a gunman. He was all about it.
Speaking about that attitude problem, do you guys think that Garnacho is going to be able to fight his way back into this team?
I think this coach is a good coach for Garnacho.
Sean looks like he just right away nodded his head no.
I think Garnacho goes in the next.
I feel like his eyes are turned to Spain, and it's a matter of time before he goes there. I don't know how soon, but I think his eyes.
Y'all act like Spain is just gonna take him.
Probably would.
Barca needs a left winger. Atletico could do some attackers.
Technically, he's Spanish.
Real Madrid. I don't think so. They got their team chucked up for the Super League. So I don't think he's gonna make it there.
You think he doesn't want to follow in the footsteps of his idol?
Of course he does, but his idol had tremendous work ethic. His idol had tremendous
drive
to be great.
They're not
really showing me none of that yet.
I feel like we're all getting sick of Garnacho.
Nah. We just
Beto said someone needs to slap him and tell him he's not Ronaldo.
All I want to see from Man United is cohesiveness and a team that is a team and not selfishness. That's why I don't think he will last at Man United. Unless he comes back from this and says, I made a mistake.
I agree.
And then, you know, puts his head to the floor and just works his ass off. I always knew he was going to go at some point anyway. He was never going to be a Ryan Giggs, a career Man United player, or a Paul Scholes. He was never going to do that. But I always thought it would be around 24, 25. So another 5 years. I still believe he's 19.
Yeah, we got to remember he's 19.
Yeah. He's 19, so we do have to remember that. But what I've seen so far, I don't think Amorim's going to keep him around at the long haul.
Or he might mold him. We don't know. He might mold him.
Yeah, I've been wrong before a lot.
get these last comments in. Mikey, please.
Beto says he signed until he's 25. He won't get into Madrid second string. He wants to be present-day Cristiano when he's achieved nothing. He wants to go to Madrid, but Madrid want him for free. Dan Taylor, wherever he goes, their lineups are in trouble. Sell Garnacho to Real Madrid. Yeah, Anthony fanboys, link up, please.
Can I just say one thing? There is nine people watching this right now, and only four thumbs up. Can I see nine thumbs up, please?
Yeah, like him up, man. Like him up.
Hit the algorithm, man. All good for us. Hit those likes, man. I only see four right now.
Hit that like, and if you're not subscribed to this channel, please subscribe to this channel.
Nope. Yeah, we're gonna make this show longer.
Anthony is the new super sub. The new
listen. I think the only thing I will say is I don't know, just because how bad City was. I said it on my show. I don't know how much of this tells us about our team beating this poor City side. I don't know how much it tells us, but I'm happy to have done it because I was worried.
Yeah.
I'll take the win, even though we're getting them at one of the lowest points of City. I'll take the points, man.
I'll take the win. Yeah, I'll take it.
Right, we're doing what we're supposed to do. We're beating the teams we're supposed to beat.
We got Spurs.
I'm on about the Premier League. I don't care about the Carabao Cup.
And I heard you guys talked about that.
I don't like how Spurs did us early in the year, so I want to beat
them. I don't like it. Yeah.
I'm okay with putting a youth team out there and just letting them.
I'm gonna break their skulls. Let's beat them. Let's beat them.
All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you for sitting with me. I've been truly honored to be sitting here with you guys. You guys have made me feel so much better. Manchester United feel me better. I think this coach is going to be the coach to guide us because he has high standards and he keeps players accountable. And I truly respect that. This team needs this coach. I don't know about above him too much, but this coach, I think, is going to be the right guy to get us going on the right path because the move he did to sit those players was ballsy and it worked. So he gained so much clout in that locker room. And I just think when you do things like that, only thing's going to happen is we're going to win a lot of games or they're going to run them out of town fast. And I don't think he's going to get run out of town.
I'm glad we won, though, because if we hadn't won, those players would have been sitting there going, Fuck you.
They would have been like, I leaked that shit. I leaked it because of him.
Before we go, though, we got to do Oracle of the Week. We got Tottenham Thursday.
I won last week's Oracle.
I'm going to go 2-0 United.
I go 1-0. 1-0 United.
I've been on a roll here by saying the other team wins and we win, so I'm going to go 2-1 Tottenham.
All right, good. So we win.
Yeah, 1-0. 1-0 United.
3-2 United. Proper
fans.
Proper cup game.
All right.
Come on. All right, guys. It's been another one of those Casual Red shows. Everybody have a good evening. Up the fucking Reds. We got Tottenham Thursday. We got Mikey and Sean show. I'll be tuning in Thursday, and hopefully we are coming off another win.
Shout out to everybody
in Rashford.
Thank you for your service, Rashi.
Abeto said 3-0 United. Robbie said 2-0. And Chi said, glory, glory, Man United, up the fucking Reds. Everybody have a great evening. One love.
You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.